Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. I'm kind of like a bulldog. Something I don't want to let go. I want to talk to you a little bit about faith, a little more about faith. Exodus chapter. It's amazing how people just try to sneak. I don't have a freaking feel like that. I mean, yeah, like, you're trying to sneak away from her like you can't see her. Come on. All right. Let's stand and give God the honor of reading His Word. I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope you enjoy yourself. I've been blessed by the music tonight. And I praise God so much for just being able to be together tonight. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing to be together. Glad to have our visitors back. I found out why I like them so well. They're from Michigan. Yeah. Finally, we're going to take over from you Texans. Amen. All right, how many Texans we got here? Raise your hand. Oh, my. How many Michiganders here? Look at this. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Are you trolls or are you Ubers? Amen. All right. You folks, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you live under the bridge in Michigan from Mackinac Bridge down, you are a troll because we're under the bridge. And if you're above, you're a Uper. You don't want to be a Uper. That's kind of like being a North Dakotian. Amen. Huh? That's really rough. That's right. Amen. All right. Anybody having a good time yet? No, smile. Some of you crack your face and smile, amen. Just smile. They say Danny Boone used to be able to look up in a tree, smile at a raccoon, he'd fall right out, amen. So that's what I want to do. Here we go. Exodus chapter 7, verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. Now, remember now, we're talking about faith, right? And we're to do faith, things that are not seen, you know, but we believe in. God says, oh, by the way, he's not going to do it. But you're going to do it anyway, because I tell you this. You ever have a parent to tell you? Yeah, never mind. We won't go there. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies. There are no armies. Israelites were not an army. They were servants. They were making bricks. They were washing floors. They were feeding the Pharaoh and all his people. They were servants. But God said, see, sometimes you don't know what you are. Sometimes you don't know what you are. You just think you're a servant. But God may have something great for you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Okay? Don't quit. Some of you young kids, teenagers, you think, well, God can't use me. Oh, yes, he can. Even some of you old, I was going to say goats, but that would be very, very good because I'm one of them. But God can use you in a great way. Just don't quit, all right? But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. That's what it's all about right there. I think that's what it's all about. When Job, I spoke about last week, when Satan came before the Lord, and God said, have you looked at Job? He's a perfect man, eschews evil, Satan said, yeah, but you take everything away, you put a hedge around him. He just served you because, quote unquote, you're his good luck charm. He's at your rabbit foot. You're his rabbit foot. And God said, okay, you just go ahead. And then, here comes Satan again, after he's taken everything he had. Children died, all the children died, and all those terrible things happened. Satan comes again and says, and God said, have you checked out on Job? And he says, even all the things you allowed, made me put my hand towards him, he still has not cursed me. And he said, yeah, skin for skin. And he said, yeah, what was he doing? It was all about God getting the glory. And this is what this is. He said, I just want you to know. He said, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel among them. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight to really trust you in everything we do and everything we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. When living a life of faith, I just want you to know, according to the Word of God, it guarantees your deliverance. It may be we'll deliver to heaven. I don't know. It may be that through some pretty substantial hurt and pain, he'll deliver us and give us strength and health. It may be that he may restore. It may be that he didn't. You remember the scriptures in Paul, when he came to God three times and asked God to take that plague away from him, whatever it was. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, you'll be strong. Why? Because we have to get to the point in our life realize we are nothing and God is everything. And that's pretty hard for some of us. Some of you are pretty boneheaded. Think you can do it all. Think you can handle things. Think you can do it. But when it gets to the point in your life where you say, God, I do not know how to do this, God smiles and says, well, I'll show you. And God does it so miraculously, you can't take credit for it. When God was raised to deliver Israel from Egypt, he sent 10 terrible plagues to remind Egypt of his power and his authority. You remember the first couple of plagues? And he told him to throw down his staff. He threw down a staff, turned into a snake, and picked up, came back a snake. Well, guess what the Houdinis of that day did? Did the same thing. You know. But then God said, okay, I'll show you. And things started really getting bad. There's a lot of people out there today that can really show off a lot of magical tricks to a lot of people and blind the eyes of the whole world. But let me tell you something. It's going to get to the point where they're going to back out and say, that's a God. It really upsets me when I'm reading the scriptures in the last days. The Bible says that the men are going to cry for the rocks to fall off on them to get them away from God. How pitiful. How ignorant. Somebody sold them bill of goods, amen. He sent the 10 terrible plagues to remind Egypt of his power and authority. And because Moses lived by and through faith, Moses, how many? One man. Yes, I said by one man. God saved Israel through Moses' faith and found them deliverance. One man. God's looking for one good man. Maybe here tonight. You may be here tonight. God's looking for a good man. We'll stand in the gap. He's looking for a man that will do what God tells him to do. He's looking for someone who's willing to just stay the course. Amen. One man can bring deliverance to a whole group of people. Praise the Lord about that. Amen. Moses was delivered through bold obedience. The Bible says in verse 28 there, though through faith he kept the Passover. The 9 plagues Pharaoh had defied God and would not let the people go. So God used the final plague to prove to Pharaoh that without doubt he was the Lord God. The final plague, God gave Israel very specific instruction. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, you look at there. Draw out and take you a lamb according to your family to kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood that is in a basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts that the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out that door in the house until morning.
Take the blood, spring it on both sides, spring it on the top. Spring it on both sides, spring it on the top. That's what that this thing sign of the cross.
And they were staying in that house. You know, sometimes God says, stay away from things. That'd be a good idea. I thought I'd just put that in there. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two sides of the posts, the Lord shall pass over that door. That's where we get the word Passover. And will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house and to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy son forever. So, it was a simple command. Kill a lamb, pour the blood out, put it in a basin, get a bunch of hyssop. Hyssop is like what we would, out here in Montana, we'd call sage brush. It's all over the country there. Just get a bunch of it, dip it in, and put it on, and put it on, and put it on, and stay in the house. Simple command. You know the Bible's simple. Some people just try to make it so hard. Just to make it so hard. I'm talking to a preacher today, a good friend of mine, and he was telling me some things, and he said he preached a sermon about how that people are trying to make the Word of God so mechanical and so, and you got to be a college student to understand. He's had a bunch of lies. He says Paul the apostle didn't have a computer and go in and check every word in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic. He just preached the Word. Now I know he knew it, and I'm not poo-pooing us for getting all the education we can. But boy, there's some people just saying, hey, you know what? You can't do it. Well, that's crazy. This is God's book. That King James Bible you have was written for the working people. It was not made for the elite, the hyper-intelligentsia. A lot of them run around today in churches. Boy, they know it no more. Oh, they just, you know, that sounds like Gnostic back in 1 John, where Paul and John wrote it. It is a simple command. If you obey the instructions of God, you will be delivered from the horrible plague. Do this, don't do this, you're okay. Guy called me today. He said, my daughter got saved. She wants to be baptized. I said, well, baptize her. Have her baptized. Well, she's 5. I said, you're telling me a little 5-year-old doesn't understand that? I said, she's running all the time in your house. He says, oh, he's a friend of mine from a long ways away from here. But he said, I never thought of that. I said, hey, you little kids understand. And let me say this. I'd rather a child that gets baptized when they're 5 and then about 14, 15 say, well, I don't know if I can do it again. What did it hurt? Either she gets baptized or gets wet. Again, but at least she is following the conviction that she believes that God wants her to do. My boys, when they want to get baptized, they kept bugging me, and finally I couldn't put up with it anymore. I said, okay, let's get baptized. One of them didn't think he was saved. He got saved. Made assurance of salvation. I always tell people, if you're really not sure, just get baptized. That's nice. You say, oh, that's so embarrassing. Well, read the Bible. What does the Bible say? You can be content with what the Bible says, and if you ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart, and you know it's not the words, it's the attitude of your heart coming to God and saying, I want you to be my Savior. It is your choice whether you follow God by faith or not. It's your choice. I can't force you. Oh, I'd like to force you sometimes. I can't force you. You got to do it. It's got to be you. You got to take the challenge of God. It's got to be you to do what God wants you to do. I laughed. Somebody got mad at some people who, this is years ago when we were building before, people weren't showing up to work and stuff. And I said, what are you going to do, fire them? They said, what do you mean? I said, well, this is their church. I said, I know, but if you read the Bible about people in the Old Testament, especially during David's time, they were working, and some of them didn't show up, and they missed out on the blessing. Are you kidding me? You know how much fun seeing these guys? I've got pictures of these guys. They are so dusty. They look like somebody spray painted dust on them. And they're grinning. And they're having a good time. Not only that, they're learning to be around another man. Not only their dad and be around a preacher, but brother Richard. They're learning about power tools. They're learning that they will hurt if you don't behave yourself. And you'll get blisters if you don't wear gloves and all that. They're learning great things. Great things. Greatest time learning. So it is your choice. Preacher can preach until he's blue in the face. But unless you make the choice to follow the Lord in faith, that's your choice. You have to make a choice. Now, of course, the Bible says you have to behave yourself, because if the preacher has to talk to God about you, that's not a good deal. That's in the Bible. You have to make the choice, and you will have to live with its consequences. To secure God's deliverance, then you have to obey by faith. What Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and you walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." I like things being well unto me. I don't need any more trouble than I already got. Amen? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressor is hard." If you want deliverance, you must obey in faith. Deliverance through a blood offering, verse 28, and the sprinkling of blood. The blood was applied to the post of the door, and the blood was the Passover lamb that saved the firstborn of the family. It was an innocent lamb, blood, that saved the life of the family inside. What did that little lamb do? Nothing. But the Bible says a sinner deserves God's wrath and eternal death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why is there a penalty for our sin? A penalty of sin is death, and sin requires a blood offering for the payment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission or no forgiveness." Leviticus 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." Yet we have a Passover lamb. We do. You have a Passover lamb. John 1, 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." The story is told of a young lady who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. She had a very rough past involving alcoholism, drug, prostitution. But when she got saved, her life changed so greatly, and there was such evidence. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church. She had not only involved in the ministry and teaching young children. It wasn't very long until this faithful young woman caught the eye of the heart of the pastor's son. The relationship grew, and they began making wedding plans. This is when the trouble began. You see, about half the church did not think that the woman with a past like that should be suitable for the pastor's son. The church began to argue and fight about the matter, and so it was decided the meeting would be common. The people made their arguments, and then tensions increased. The meeting got completely out of hand. The young woman became so very upset with all the things being brought up about her past, she began to cry. And finally, the pastor's son stood to speak. He could not bear the pain that was causing his wife to be. And when he spoke, he said that my fiance past is not what's on trial here. What we have in question today is the ability of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away all our sins. Today, you have put the blood of Jesus Christ on trial. So, does it wash away our sin or does it not? At that moment, the church became very quiet. And all of a sudden, you started hearing people start to weep as they realized that they had been slandering the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the flow. That makes me whiteness, no. No other fountain I know. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as we know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your, from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." It's through the blood offering of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are delivered from the wrath to come. Thirdly, I want you to look at life of faith, which is victory. James Havner said, a great preacher, he said about a set of Moses, he chose the imperishable, saw the inevitable, and did the impossible. Can you imagine taking 3.5 million Jews? On a cross-country trip, we could probably sum up in one word, victory. The victories that we experience in Jesus Christ will only come through a life lived by faith, not experiencing moments, not just experiencing moments, but a life of faith. There's a lot of people they do a lot of sputters and sputs and go here and go there and stop and are not faithful and keep going and backing up. And, you know, boy, you know, I wonder what God thinks of us like that, you know. Well, I don't like this. Well, I don't like that. Well, that doesn't suit my fancy. You know what? There's a lot of things that don't suit my fancy. Somebody said, what are they? None of your business. You? No. But even in our marriages, there are certain things in our marriage that just does not suit our fancy. But if you really love her, that her love will override anything that you want. Because you want her to have everything that she wants. That's true marriage. It's not a 50-50 deal. My responsibility in marriage is to make her happy, not make me happy. And it's not her, the way I look at it, it's not her response to make me happy. That's her choice. She wants to make me happy, then that's her choice. But I promised before a group of people, I promised her daddy, I promised her mama, I promised her two sisters and her brother that I would love her and keep her in sickness and in health till death do us part. It is my responsibility as the head of my home to make that woman realize she is precious. I want her to know that. It is my responsibility to tell her she's beautiful. Tell her she's smart. It's my responsibility to tell her that the best food that I ate in my life. You can say it at that moment. You don't have to tell her that. And you don't like what she cooked, then you cook for her. We had a little thing in my house. It was this. She said, if you do the cooking, I'll do the cleaning. Well, I thank God for those years that I did the cooking because it taught me how to pick some vittles up, amen. And I do know how to do some of that, amen. Tonight I'm going home, make some more cookies. Amen. After sundown. All right. He will give you not only victories, but he will give you extravagant victories. Extravagant victories are victories that are so great that nobody can say that you did it. It was God's deal. You know, the Bible says, by faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea. It was extravagant, as by dry land. Have you ever, you know, in Missouri out here, you remember when they put it down because they're building some stuff on the dam, and you could see almost straight across, there's just dirt? Well, you know, you walk out of that stuff, and I have, you're right down. How many hits coming between your toes? It's coming to your knees, and you're wishing, why in the world did I ever get that stuff? By the way, fish swimming, that's just what you're stepping in. But anyway. They walked across on dry land. That's extravagant. God can do anything. Oftentimes he does it extravagantly so that we know. You ever hear something? Well, that was a God. How many ever said that? Yeah. Well, that was God. Joshua, causing his son to stand still when battling Aaron. God could have beat him up right there. But God just said, stay up there for a little bit, son. And the son said, yes, sir. Because everything, God is the master of it. Think of Samson defeating 1,000 Philistines by his jawbone of an ass. What's with that? That's extravagant. Peter preached, and about 3,000 got saved in one day and baptized. What is that? Hey, wait a minute. Let's go back and figure out how long that was. That's about 50 days. 50 days before that, they just crucified Jesus Christ on the cross. 50 days. And about 3,000 were saved and baptized. 50 days. My friend would say, cowabunga, man. That's extravagant, amen. When you choose to live a life of faith, God can give you extravagant victories. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able. To do exceedingly, or exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Is that Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Is that true? I hear people say, I believe the whole counsel of God, I believe the whole Bible from cover to cover, from Revelation to generations, amen. Can God do that? Can you think of some time in your life that God did something that was exceeding, that was abundantly? Can you think of a time that God did something like that in your life? Well, if you haven't, you haven't been living by faith. He will give you exclusive victories. Let me illustrate that. When the children of Israel finally got on the other side of the Red Sea, who was coming after them? Woo! Man, they are scared to death. Hey, you're going to get out now! Wait a minute. God has just opened the Red Sea. Dried out the land. Let them go across. The Bible says the water heaves on both sides. My son Chad, of course, you know he's a hunter and everything. He said, boy, Dad, I'd like to. I said, what's that? He said, I'd grab me a fish out of there. He got it. He's like 3 or 4 years old. And he said, I'd grab me a fish out of there. Verse 29, the Bible says, here's an exclusive victory. What the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. dead. Graveyard dead. Everybody else got through. See, the Bible says as Israelites passed through, God provided a way of escape. The Egyptians tried to do as well, but they failed. Why? Because they were not following the true God. They did not serve God of the Israelites. They did not exercise their faith. There are many seas that we see in our lifetimes. Others pass through, and some will wish they could pass through. You'll quit. You won't desire to use your faith that God has given to you. There are many victories that you will see to win, and some wish they could win as well. My friend, these victories in the Christian life can only be won through faith. Mark chapter 9:29, and he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Live by faith. And God promised you to win exclusive victories that nobody else could have never happen to them. Isn't it amazing? God loves us that much.
And God cares so much for me. This little farm boy from Michigan, I just can't believe it. God loves me, and God shows me and gives these things, and I'm going, good night.
Something happened the other day, and I'll be honest with you, I was kind of wanting one, but I didn't think I could get one, and the guy called me up and said he wanted to buy one of my pistols, and I sold it for what it cost me. And the next day, this guy said, hey, why don't you come out to dinner with me? I went out there and he said, I've got this, I'm going to get rid of it. Do you want it? I said, yeah. I said, how much do you have? That was a exclusive victory. That should not happen. Should not happen. You say, that's not fair. Live by faith. Trust God. He said, by the way, it's not easy sometimes. In fact, sometimes you get the heebie-jeebies. Sometimes you're afraid. Sometimes you go, I don't know. Hey, old Peter, man, the water's coming over the bow of that boat, and here comes Jesus. And the Bible said they're all afraid. It's a ghost. And one of them said, thank you, Lord. Peter said, Lord, bid me to come to thee. He stepped out of that boat and started walking. He went. And then what happened? Took his eyes off God, saw the storm. Sometimes I get in trouble before I see the storm and forget that God has already promised to take care of me. Jesus said, Peter, come on. By the way, we cuss old Peter a lot, but let me tell you something. How many of the other disciples got out of that boat? And he's going down to the Lord, saying, and there in the boat, the Bible says. And then the Lord God says, peace be still. And, I'm going to tell you something. I've been on Lake Michigan, and we were being chased by a tornado. We were in one of them great big ferries from Ludington to
Manitowoc.
Yeah. And we were coming across. And the storm, I'm telling you what, I mean, that was one of the deals, you know. Hair standing on end, lightning, man, it was crashing. And they told us, everybody needs to get inside. And we got outside. I said, man, well, I don't want to be inside. I want to get out of here, man. And so we went inside, and that old boat was going to... And not only, do you know boats go like this, but they also go like this, and like this, and then they go up like this, and down. I found out something. Do not get in the front of the boat or the back boat. Get right in the middle. And that's the last axis for that boat to go. Out here is going like this. Back here is going like this. Right in the middle is just pretty much just staying there. So if you ever get on a bad boat, get in the middle. God help you out here. Live by faith and you will win exclusive victories. Are you satisfied with living a life cluttered about the moments of victory? Or do you desire to live a life of victory through a life filled
of faith. The life of faith will guide you forward, guarantee your deliverance, and give you the victory. Live by faith. Trust God. I'm glad that there was a group of people when we first started this church to live by faith. I'm glad when I posed the question, shall we go into debt for $100,000? Do you think we can raise $30,000 in 6 months? I'm glad those people did. Because that's why you're sitting in this old building today. And you're sitting on 8 acres of property. Because someone stepped out. Let me tell you something. It only takes one person. Moses was just one person. But he did it. He stepped out. Daniel, one man, stepped out. Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three of them. Stepped out. Hey, are you willing to step up for the Lord? Are you willing to live by faith? Are you willing to trust the Lord in it? Father, I pray tonight that you speak to our hearts. Lord God, we are asking folks to do what you tell us to do. Dear God, I beg you tonight that you would do a great work in our hearts and our lives, that we may give ourselves completely over to you, and may we live by faith and not by sight. As the Bible, I just told you here, I can say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me tonight that I know for sure if I die tonight, I'd go to heaven. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. You hear tonight and say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm following the Bible baptism. I need to do that. I need to be faithful to that. Yes, you do. Live by faith. Do what God tells you to do. How can God bless you in any other way if you don't start with the first thing he tells you to do? Maybe here tonight, say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe God's called us to. Well, we'd love to hook up with this and work together and serve God together. I hope you do that. Father, now bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name.